The About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are the things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Get a free bet when you bet £5 every week of the Premier League season and a big boost every day. That's Ladisfaction from Ladbrokes. And for extra Ladisfaction, here's the T's and C's garage style.
18 plus, 1st of September to 24th of May. Opt-in weekly. Selected Premier League markets. Match one free bet per week. Values vary. Restrictions and T&Cs apply. Daily odds boosts. T&Cs on Ladbrokes.com. Gambleaware.org.
Hey guys, welcome back to the About Last Night podcast. Tonight I'm in Vegas. Do you live in Vegas? Are you around Vegas? I'm at the Wynn Casino, first theater ever in Vegas. 8 p.m. Cannot wait. The Who Is Me theater tour is off and running. Next week, Columbus, March 27th, Cleveland, March 28th, Pittsburgh, March 29th. Then we've got St. Louis, April 17th, Denver, April 18th at the Paramount, April 29th in Albany, April 30th in Peekskill, New York, and May 1st at Town Hall in New York City, right in the heart of the Big Apple, baby. May 16th, Napa, California. Come get your wine on. Come get your wine.
Come get your, if you really listen to your palate, you can hear the grapes separate from the fruit.
And then we've got Eugene, Oregon. Then we've got Australia, Canada, and a big fall tour is getting ready to be announced, as well as another big Netflix announcement. So stay tuned for that. Today's episode is my first special. Read the Room. Put it on YouTube. It sounds great. It looks great. Go watch it if you give a shit, but it's a great listen, and I'm really proud of it, and that's what we got for you today. A new episode will be back next week. I love you guys. Stay tuned. Stay up. Come see me in Vegas. AdamRayComedy.com for the theater tour tickets. YouTube.com/AdamRayComedy for all the Dr. Phils and stand-up best-ofs that we drop each week, and we're also going to be putting up a Dr. Phil documentary on the entire tour very soon. We're editing that as we speak. All right. I love you guys. Be good to yourself. Enjoy the weekend. Bye.
Hey, it's Herbert, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Make it loud in here for my good friend, Adam Ray. Keep it going for me. Sir, clap, you piece of shit. Come on.
Fuck yeah. Don't die on me, dude. Just fell out of his chair. That's not the ideal way to start a comedy album recording. This guy's killing. Literally. Thanks for coming out. San Francisco, how we doing? You guys feeling good? I don't know what it is in the water up here, but you guys, maybe it's that free-spirited, open mind, creative mindset that allows people to just fucking drive, just fucking let the wind tell you where to go, man. Just, you can go left and right at the same time if you believe in yourself, Damien. Apparently, it's not illegal in this part of the country to cut across four lanes on the freeway with no blinker and exit in one fucking motion. Yeah. Applauding that behavior, you animals! Yeah, no, I'll take a family of five to get to Bikram Yoga on time. I don't give a shit. Get out of my way, Jorge. I got some day sweats to cash in on. Never seen that move. Earlier today, dude just cut across four lanes and see you later in one move. No blinker and fuck everybody, and that's what I'm doing today. It's like, hey, man, you can't be going speeds upwards of 85 miles per hour and make split-second decisions like that. Not with lives at stake around you. And plus, what is your GPS doing there? Like, an exit now! It's a cokehead tweaker navigation system.
Yeah, back, come back, come back, come back! You're like, fuck, fuck, fuck!
Who installed this? God damn it, Toyota. You guys go to the beat of your own drum, and I dig that. This part of the country is truly so creative. So many little things you get to see, too, that you don't get to see around the rest of the country. San Francisco is very privy to new experiences, highlights, memories. I don't know if you've seen this at your airport. Saw this on my way in the men's bathroom. Little piece of poop in the urinal, just hanging out. Never seen that before. Half of you are right to not laugh at that. But also, that's concerning that you're just like, man, sometimes that happens here. That's keeping it weird 24/7. That's concerning on many levels, by the way. What is that doing there? This is, again, why you need to go outside. There's still a lot of questions we've yet to answer as a society, okay? A lot of, mysteries we've yet to solve. We think we've got the hot-button issues taken care of. Like, dude, global warming, is it real? Is it happening? Are we affected? I'm like, yo, dude, there could be fellas out there who are pooping out of their penises. Let's prioritize the issues. Got a future to look after, man. What do you do, by the way, if you're at the urinal as a dude and someone comes in, just pulls them down, turns around? Do you say something? No! You can't! No, you're doing it. Good job. I was in Tampa. I got an Uber right out of the gate. The guy was just like, what's going on, man? You good? I was like, yeah, man, just got some shows tonight. Appreciate the lift. He's like, oh, hell yeah, man. You going to the strip club? I was like, no, probably not. He goes, oh, shit, come on! I was like, all right, yeah, you know what, fuck it. You convinced me. That's a good argument. Let's do it. I didn't actually look at it from that angle. That's a good... Come on is a great point. He was real fired up about the strip club, so I had some follow-up questions, naturally. I was like, it seemed like you really loved the strip club, huh? He's like, oh, dude, I fucking... I was like, I don't know what that was, man. Was that a yes? Is that what you're trying to convey? He goes, dude, I fucking love the strip club, man. I fucking love the strip club, dog. I love it, man. I was like, what do you love about the strip club? And he looks at me verbatim and goes, oh, dude, I'll tell you, man. Come on, man. The titties. You know what I'm saying? Come on, dude. You know the pussy. Come on, man. And of course, the booty. And I was a little taken aback by his sheer honesty in the middle of a Tampa afternoon. But then I was like, fuck, if we were playing Stripper Family Feud, those would probably be the top three answers. He's not wrong. Would have been weird if he was like, the food, the tunes, and the camaraderie. Those bitches are friends. It makes the dances better knowing that. I don't mind getting pimped out to local activities in a certain city. Right out up here, everyone's like, gotta go to the Ghirardelli. Chocolate Factory. You want to see where chocolate was born? You know? Go to the Ghirardelli Chocolate Factory. Willy Wonka's jealous of this place. And I like that you guys are prideful about your landmarks. Some places I don't understand. I was in Phoenix, Arizona. Everyone was like, dude, you gotta go to the zoo, man. Have you been to the Phoenix Zoo? You gotta go, dude. You gotta go to the zoo while you're here, man. The Phoenix Zoo, that's what you do when you're here. You go to the zoo. And I was like, you have one? It's 140 degrees here all the time. What is that experience like for the animals? You just walk by, they're all like, help! You're like a homeless guy, you don't have change for you. You're like, I'm sorry, I got nothing. They're like, I don't want money, I want Gatorade, motherfucker. I'm melting in my own shit. You're talking to the last bear, potentially. Fuck yeah. Look at that hat, dude. Nice. Did you win that in a raffle earlier? That is a cool-ass hat. And I'm obviously deflecting, you know what I'm saying? Like, anytime a dude... And you've got the vest to accompany the hat. Are you always this? Is this your normal getup for, or is it set the Saturday special? Is that what we're getting? 7 days a week. Fuck yeah! You go vest and hat 7 days a week. What do you do for work? I don't know why I didn't ask that right out of the gate. You finance dreams and you fix nightmares. I'll take things robots say for $1,000, Alex. Oh, or some weird spiritual figment of my imagination. Dude, how many times have you said that in public? Because that rolled off the tongue. Is that your pickup line at bars to chicks? So, what do? You really want to know? I finance dreams and I fix nightmares. I think my friend needs me.
I Yeah, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I didn't see you come here with anyone. No, I did. I did. You're wrong. I did. She said she's been in the bathroom. She had to shit. But it was like one of those peas that turned into shit, so she's going to be there a while. But wait, I want to finance your dreams. Yeah, that's going to be a no for me. Let me fix your nightmares, at least. No, because I'm having it right now. And I feel like me going to the bathroom is a way to get rid of it. Please don't follow me in there. Try to meet gals, that's always tricky. Guys getting their own heads, right? I'd say 89% of fellas really want to put the best foot forward, make the right impression. We just get jammed up. You know, you girls are sweet and pretty and funny. We get in our own heads, make it tougher than it has to be. There is, however, another 11% out there that is fucking it up for the rest of us. And you know who you are, you creepy bastards. Quit saying weird, pervy-ass shit at the end of the night, okay? Making the rest of us look bad. Throwing Hail Marys on first down. Dude, run a couple plays. Saw the bar was closing. I don't know what you're getting into. You can always come back to my place and smoke a joint, take a bubble bath. What the fuck are you talking about, Alan? Bubble bath? Do you realize how rapey that suggestion is at 3 in the morning? I just wanted to get clean. That's even weirder, dude. She's an adult. It's tough to be comfortable in your own skin. That's what we're all striving for. It's just to be able to live in your own skin and be out there and not make shit weird right out of the gate, you know, to go to a party that you got a last minute invite to, you know, not knowing too many of the people there, trying to familiarize yourself right out of the gate, get into a hot tub maybe. You didn't bring swim trunks. You're wearing jeans, right? Everyone's looking at you like, you probably can't get in. You say shit like, carpe diem. Everyone's like, what does that mean? Not really the time for that. You get in with wet pants and you're sitting around like, yeah, fucking, we're all friends. And everyone's like, nope, nobody knows you, man. You just got in with jeans, you know? Conversations being discussed, things you're not privy to, but you want to chime in because you felt that silence lingering for too long, so you just go, anybody ever bought a butt plug? Next thing you know, you're getting kicked out of a party with wet jeans. You want to avoid being that guy, you know? So a lot of ways to equalize that for yourself. You know, a lot of people get tattoos to feel like their best selves. I'm always envious of you ladies. Your choices are so spot on. Thinking about getting one because I know that it's one of those things you do in your 30s, right? Just get a... People know that I'm serious about being a person because I don't know what I'd get. I feel like I'd get something, you know, that nobody has. I would want that. I know I'd be drunk, too, for the experience to avoid the pain. You know, just maybe just walking all hammered like, hey, just put the Baskin-Robbins logo on my asshole, man. I don't know. Fucking, it's a conversation starter, right? Yes, all the flavors. What am I paying you for? You girls are so good with those choices. Girls have so much symbolism with their tattoo selections. I'm so envious. You guys all of these have so much symbolism and backstory, and they very special. They mean something very special to me. I'll tell you what they mean if you really get to know me. Okay, I'll tell you what they mean. You were super patient. I actually have a tattoo of two hummingbirds spooning inside of a flower, and there's a bunch of Japanese lettering above it, and it means live your life, to just, you know, live it up. And whatever that means to you, sorry, not sorry. And don't let anyone tell you your dreams aren't achievable, and because if you can see it, you can dream it, you can be it. And if it's not something that you ever thought you could do, then just put on your dream wings and just fly up into the sky and go catch your dreams and just hello dreams and grab a big ash and take a bite of your dreams and just make sure that just fuck you, dad. You know, just all that's packaged, you know, in one tattoo. You got all that backstory into one little image. Always that moment too, right? We've all had that moment where you clean yourself up. You think that boozing is going to be a piece of history for you, right? Have that one crazy night. You wake up and you're just like, oh, no more drinking for me. Then you take a shower and brush your teeth and you're like, and I'm back in the game. Guys are a little more barbaric with our booze intake than you gals. We don't learn from our mistakes. We have no restraint. We power through despite whatever debaucherous results are produced. You know what I'm saying? Just like, oh, really? I hit one dude at the Wendy's drive-thru with my truck. One dude. And now I'm just supposed to stop drinking Pinot Grigio? It's like, yeah, that's exactly how that works, Kevin. You're not a wine guy, is what that means. And you mix it with ecstasy, dum-dum. So you're 0 for 2 tonight. Gotta read the room. Girls are way better. I have so much more restraint. Just acknowledgement of just... I know what my body can handle. You know, it's, I can't drink everything anymore. That was the old me. That was the old Kimberly. It's, you know, it's a new year. It's a new me. I put that on Facebook. I don't know why you didn't like it, but fuck it. I'm still going to do it. It's my journey. I have to. It's just some things I can't drink. I want to, though. Like whiskey. I wish I could. I wish I could. I really wish I could. I just trust myself on whiskey is what it is. I don't like who I am. I'm a different person. You can ask Siobhan. Remember Cabo and all that? Don't say anything, bitch. But she remembers what I... fucking slut. It's just every drink has a specific behavior for me. That's why it's tough to gauge how I'm going to respond in public. Like, tequila makes me horny. It does. I'm serious. One shot, I'm just like, hey, suck it anywhere. Yeah. Jaeger makes me violent, you know, so you put them together, just lay out, and I'll fucking kill you in your sleep and suck your dick and cut it off. I'll have a water. Thank you so much. Conversations are way better, though. Girls get deep on a level guys can't understand, right? We're just so aggro. We're simple. Minded, too. That's why we bro out and become friends so easily. Dude's got a solid amount of testosterone inside of him. But on the flip side, man, we're ready to meet that testosterone with some kind-hearted feelings, right? But every dude is looking at a dude as like an enemy and a friend in the same fucking, like, moment. So it's just like, we're just like, dude, I will fucking hit my dick on your face, but also, like, you can fucking take a picture of it. Like, but, you know, like, we just, like... If you need a new screensaver, I'm there for you, dude. Like, that's why we see guys at bars just fucking a shoulder bump. Like, whoa, you all, hey, what's up, man? You good? Yeah, dude, real good. What's going on with you? Not much, man. Just walking through the bar. Yeah, well, you hit my shoulder, dude. Sorry, dude. Fucking free country. Can walk where I want. You know what I'm saying? I got two shoulders. I'm looking to fucking swivel them around town. Yeah, okay, dude. Well, it hurt, man. I had surgery last weekend. Oh, shit. From what? Softball, man. I play professionally. Oh, shit. In like a co-ed league or like just on the... weekends, or is it just like for fun? Or no, it's for, you know, I was trying to go pro for base. Oh shit, no, that's dope, dude. Yeah, no, I wanted to go pro, but fucking just I was too short. I just fucking steal what I could. Just that's fucking. Do you like the Goo Goo Dolls, man? I got tickets tonight if you want to go. I would love that. You girls get deeper though, right? Just, oh my god, let's just talk about. You're much more cognizant too of like the group. You know, Beth doesn't know everybody yet. She's new here, so we should get out of town, to get out of our comfort zones, go on an excursion, an expedition, right? Just go wine tasting. Just, you know, she's had a rough month. Like, her ex-boyfriend didn't wish her happy birthday on Facebook. Her cat has, like, AIDS or HPV or the flu. It's sick, so... I don't know, we should just get out, just learn about her. Just make sure she feels like one of us. Like, get to know her passions and her fears, right? Girls love talking about fears. What are you scared? You're never gonna hear a guy like, yo, Trevor! What are you afraid of, dog? Come on, dude, talk to me. My heart's open for business. You girls just get deep down and connect, you know? I'm envious of that extra layer of commitment to the conversation, right? Just, oh God, Stacy, I'm so jealous. She has no fears. She's so brave. She has literally no fears. She has no ears either, but that's actually probably her fear, is like growing ears back, you know, and having them burned off in a fire again. So, but by the way, don't let her bring it up. Don't be like, hello, can you, like, can you hear me? Like, let her say, I don't have any ears. Like, let her bring it up. It's... All right, you guys tensed up a little bit more than I would have liked on that joke. Is somebody here tonight without ears that decided to roll the dice and just watch me do comedy? Last time I was up here, I went wine tasting for a bachelor party. Yep, that was my response too when it was brought to the table. My buddy was like, dude, we're going wine tasting. I was like, fucking why? What happened to Vegas? We're dudes. An enjoyable experience. My one qualm about that scenario is the people who pour the wine, these sommeliers. I get that you love wine. You're eating, drinking, talking, breathing, sleeping wine 24/7. But hey, man, don't inundate us with so much information. Don't shower us with all these facts. You know what I'm saying? We're day drinking, you know? It's 10 a.m. and I am fucked up, Bruce. I don't really care where the grape's birth canal is located. I showed up to your winery already drunk. What does that tell you about how much learning I'm trying to do on a Sunday morning? But you think that. You can't say that because that's rude. And you know, it's fun to pretend. It's fun to go along with their spiel because they get so into it. And it's fun to yes and take what they say and spin it into your own bullshit because then you walk out being like, I actually know a lot more about Chardonnay than I thought I did. And they get so into it. It's fun to pretend when there's like, if you guys really listen to your palate, you can actually hear the grape separate from the fruit. And I'm just like, yeah, no, I don't hear it. It's so much Bruce, but I can smell it. It's got a little cinnamon toast crunch, a little little Fraggle Rock, a little Applebee's. Is that the fruit of the loom? Is that a fucking nutsack in there? The balls are ripe this year. Vegas is where it's at for a bachelor party. You know, I can only handle Vegas for 24, maybe 48 hours tops. Not willing to throw my life away financially. And you need to be if you're going to stay in Vegas for an extended period of time. A few games that I enjoy, you know what I'm saying? Roulette is the one I will never touch. And people always get in my way like, dude, you got to play roulette, man. What are you doing? Adam, dude, that's the game of chance, man. You never know what's going to happen when you play roulette, man. You never know what's going to happen when you play roulette, man. Do you know, man? You never know what. Do you know what's going to happen? You don't know. You don't. Fucking roulette, dog. You don't know. I'm like, bullshit. I know exactly what's going to go down. Here's anybody playing roulette ever. Ready? Black. Fuck! Like, that's pretty much every time. You're a failure in 2 seconds. Congratulations, Carl. Go tell your wife you can't pick colors properly, you piece of shit. That's an attractive quality in a man. Craps is fun. Craps, you can build some cash out of nowhere with a collective group of strangers and have that out of nowhere unexpected energy be built. And we can all use a little more of that right now with what's going on. Just to rally around some strangers and just look each other in the eye and be like, dude, we're on the same page. We're winning. We all want money. That's what we're here for. And the superstition level in craps is top notch. Because if you're saying some silly bullshit and you're winning, everyone jumps on board. A lot of people go with the standard, you know, come on, you know, grandma needs a new pair of blue jeans. But you can literally, you know, I don't know why grandma always needs more blue jeans, but she does. Fucking get them for her if that's what she wants. She's about to die. Fucking hook her up with some Levi's, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes people go with, you know, come on, you know, anything you want. And people, if you're winning, again, you know, just, you know, come on, you know, Santa needs a hand job and an Uber. You know, just saying, like, whatever you know, somebody jerk off Santa, you know? This guy's hard. Sometimes people get a little too revealing with their info at craps. A little too honest, you know, a little too all the eggs in one basket. Just, you know, come on, you know, daddy needs a new minivan for his second family. You're like, holy shit. All right, well, that's definitely not the time to reveal that info, Dan. I love the fights in Vegas, the drunk public couple fights. If you're a couple and you get shit-faced and you start fighting, stay outside. It's free entertainment. Don't be selfish and go inside. No, stay outside for the rest of us to watch. That is the best programming. Money can't buy that. Vegas truly is the best backdrop because, you know, the ambiance, the lights, up past hours you're not accustomed to. Couples can't handle Vegas. A lot of them, when they go there for the first time, and Vegas rewards you, too. They recognize if you stay up late enough, they're just like, oh, shit, it's 4 a.m. and you're still awake? All right, here's Jeff and Diane from Iowa. They're hammered. Enjoy yourself, you know? They haven't been here before. It's about to get weird. Last time I was there, my buddy and I sat in the lobby of the New York Casino for a good 45 minutes. Just watching this shit show. He's drunk, she's drunk, not making any sense, but they somehow understood the drunken babble that was being exchanged. You know, she's just like, you don't see this any step in the front of the dojo. This motherfucker. Did you stop it again in the front of the dojo? And the dude looks at her, I swear to God, verbatim, and goes, oh, is that, oh, I'm not even paraphrasing. That's what they were fucking saying to each other. It's their own secret language. And at the height of the fight, out of nowhere, the dude does a cartwheel in front of his chick. Just a grown adult male cartwheel. Shit escalated. This motherfucker cartwheels. And at the end of the cartwheel, with a lot of purpose and aggression, looks right at her and goes, boom! Yo, boom? Why are you so defensive, bro? Has she been questioning your cartwheeling abilities? No doubt that is a fight that's been brewing all day long. You know, started at the pool, now they're in the cab on the way to the club. She won't let it go. Just, you were just such a fucking embarrassment at the pool today, Max. Every 15 minutes, like, ooh, look at me. I can whip in the nay. Yeah, well, I was trying to make your friends laugh, Carrie. I was trying to make your friends laugh. I thought that was funny. Yeah, well, it fucking wasn't. I'm no comedy, motherfucker, okay? And you know what? I don't want to say anything, but you know what? This is my first time hanging out with Chelsea, and now she thinks you're fucking psycho. So now I have to deal with that on Monday. Thank you for that, you fucking piece of shit. But I don't want to say it, but it's Vegas. You say what you feel. You speak from the fart. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. I don't even think you could do a fucking cartwheel, Max. What the fuck did you say to me? Gets out of the cab. No. Is that really what you? Is that really into the club? Is that oh, cartwheel? Boom! Dude, 45 minutes. We did not get up. My buddy was going to get a drink. He was like, "Will you save my seat?" I was like, "I'll save your seat. I'll change our flights, motherfucker. We're not gonna miss the conclusion. What are you crazy? I want to see this divorce live." Invested too much emotionally. Might have to adopt a kid. Don't get violent when you fight. Couples make that mistake. Never ends well. Prime example, Florida. This couple got into it. Chick stabbed her boyfriend in the stomach during the argument because the dude farted on her head. You should be laughing way harder. That is the funniest shit I've heard in my entire life. Google fart stab Florida tonight if you don't believe me. 6 pages of entertaining bedtime reading material. That is a power move by that dude. Yo, let's be clear about one thing, San Francisco. You get farted on during a fight, and guess what? You lose that fight. That's a TKO in the first round, baby. God didn't put us on this earth with the proper wherewithal to know how to recover from a fucking head fart. That's new age shit. That's why she panicked and got violent. She'd never seen that before. Just... This dude's been farting on chicks for years, obviously. You don't improvise that move out of nowhere. We just finally met somebody that wasn't going to take it. She was raised a little differently. At some point in her life, her dad was like, baby, if you get farted on, you fucking attack, you know? And she took that advice to heart. This guy thought he could do his go-to move and get off scot-free. He was like, oh, really? The dishes ain't in the trash? I'll fucking see you in the morning. And she was like, you'll never fart again, motherfucker! Good. Talk it out. Save your farts. My mom's starting to fart and not realize it. God damn it. Almost 70 years old. No butt control. I'm not going to call her out either. It's good son 101. She made my lunch for 18 plus years. Least I can do, hold my breath, close my eyes. Is that a new plant? You know. There's no clue. Just be sitting there hanging out just.
Did you say something, sweetheart?
No, Mom, but I think your asshole wanted to chime in on this conversation. You couldn't feel anything with the smell you just produced. The neighbors moved, Mom.
I didn't like them anyway.
What's that?
That one died.
Yeah. Now, what about that moment felt like you needed to say that? What's that?
I'm a mom that's old enough to be your mom.
Oh. Great. I used to play the clarinet. Welcome back to Who Gives a Shit. Yeah. Look, I appreciate the like, you know, commentary after the joke. That's always... Look, every comedian, you know, wants that energy between them and the audience, that, you know, that recognition that they're paying attention, you know. And I gotta be honest, the way that the laughter kind of slowly dipped down at the end of the joke, I was like, that crushed, you know. I was like, that's my fucking, I should have closed with that. And then here you come, just a hero without a cape. Waiting for your moment. Dead silent. That died. And I heard that, and I heard it here too, right? In my comedy heart. And I was like, God, that did die. Why was I so in denial? And then it turns out that you also have, you're a mom. And so, and you're like, I have a mom that's old enough to, you're a mom, yeah. You said something. I remember being real angry at that moment. So it's a little muddy for me exactly what was. There's a handful of things tonight that would have made me as an audience member go, I try to be on my best behavior, you know? It's Saturday. I'm sitting up in the balcony, right? Considered VIP. They said, like, this Adam's recording an album, right? And I think what's cool about you, but also fucked up, is that you heard he's doing an album and you were like, oh, hell yeah, another opportunity to crush somebody's dreams. And thank God I just met a dream fucking financer. So I'm actually not offended. Mom's on Facebook a little bit too much. Any other chronic mom-enters out there? Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Making the world a better place. My mom comments on just about everything that pops up on Facebook. Because she would love to give physical hugs to everybody live in the flesh. But she can't, so she does it via the internet with likes and comments and shares. But she's commenting on shit that doesn't need additional commentary. Yeah, usually pictures of food, because that's what her friends also in their 60s are chronically posting, because they don't know what to use Facebook for either, you know? So they're just like, I bet these youngsters forgot what pictures their fucking casserole look like. Noodle salad Monday through Friday from Barb and Kathy Scheibitz. And my mom comments on every photo. She's consistent. I'll give her that. A picture will just pop up. She's like, yum. Yeah, okay. You probably just think that, Mom. You don't have to put that down on the keyboard, you know? Internalize that emotion. Sometimes she just says what the food is. Lasagna. It's not a fucking game show, Mom. You don't have to guess the food picture. People know what that is. And somebody likes her comment. She comments below the like. I don't know you like lasagna, Debbie. We should make it together. I'm sitting there high as balls chiming in. Let me know when you make it. I'll fly up. I'm fucked up. I am at the airport awaiting your lasagna call. We have stupid fights, my mom and I. Got into a fight about whether it's pronounced Fanta or Fanta. Yeah. On the phone, she was like, do you remember my friend Diane? Nope. Oh, her daughter had a miscarriage last weekend. Oh, shit. Hey, Mom, remember when I said I don't remember who Diane is? I thought I kind of squashed that. What's the weather like in L.A.? Well, you know, 75, 80 every day. Hot as balls, you know that. Oh, that's great. You gonna wear shorts? I don't really feel like answering that, Mom. Well, send me a picture if you do. Nope, definitely not. And I was like, Mom, I haven't had a Fanta in a while. And she goes, it's Fanta. I was like, what'd you say, bitch? It's Fanta. I go, no, Mom, it's Fanta. The jingle in the commercial goes, don't you want a Fanta? She goes, no, it's Fanta. Don't you want a Fanta. An adorable rendition for sure, but also incorrect. I was firm in my beverage jingle knowledge. I'm like, Mom, it's fucking Fanta. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm sorry, that's just the matter of facts about this moment. And she's like, okay, you know what? I guess you're right and I'm wrong. What do I know? You know everything and I don't know shit. Yeah, here I am wrong again. And then she said something I've never heard before in the history of our relationship to squash any debate. She goes, yeah, what do I know? You just came out of me. I mean, that is the ultimate mic drop. For any discrepancy, like, you just came out of me. If she were a Mortal Kombat character, that would be her finishing move. Do you understand? Just childbirth. Like, you can't come back from that. Only works if you're a mom, obviously. Not as effective if you're a dad. Oh, really? I don't know what I'm talking about, son? Yeah, no, what do I know? You just came out of me and then went into your mom and then came out of your mom, I think. I don't know. Maybe the butt. I don't know how it works. You might be a butt baby. Google it. I have to use Facebook for so much promotions. Facebook is big for the promotional part of this job, but it's also great for connecting. Let's be honest. That's what we all use it for. So many people I've found and rediscovered from my past. I went to elementary school with a girl named Audrey Klitgaard, and I forgot about that shit. Yeah. K-L-I-T-G-A-R-D. What a home run day that was. I was just like, and I got to have that again, you know? I got to take a trip down Klitgaard Lane for a minute, you know, and remember a better time when the economy was strong and Audrey Klitgaard. How does that happen, by the way? Were the options limited at Ellis Island that day? All right, sir, you can either have Dick Sponge, Ass Tickler, or Klitgaard. Man, fucking Klitgaard's probably going to get the least amount of teasing. Found out one of my friends got divorced on Facebook. That was a new one. Usually, Facebook is a place to celebrate the highs. Like, this is all the great stuff. It's a life. I'm just look at how great things are. But now it's like, man, this is happening too. I want everyone to see it. And I love that. I love taking ownership of moments like this and turning them into celebratory experiences. And she did. It was a picture of her and about 15 of her girlfriends in front of a barn with balloons spelling out the words divorced as fuck, right? All flicking off the camera in unison, just like, fuck you, Steve, right? And a lot of hashtags to accompany the picture, just hashtag next chapter, hashtag doing it my way this time, hashtag Emily Summer of Fun, hashtag gonna find me a new man, hashtag someone help me find me a new man, you know? Hashtag please. You know? I knew it was gonna work out. Sometimes you meet a couple and you're just like, nope, not gonna work. Thanks for playing. You know, they were just too different, you know, opposites. And people always try to come at me with like, well, dude, you know, opposites attract. I'm like, yeah. And sometimes opposites are fucking opposites. And they weren't meant to be. And it takes a minute to figure that out. This dude was so roided out. And not that roided out fellas can't find love and happiness. He just had too much juice running through his system. You couldn't have a normal combo with him. You'd be like, dude, Troy, how was your weekend? He was like, yeah. I'm like, did you just put a curse on my fucking family, dude? What was that? Am I going to sleep tonight? Why can't you talk normally in public? Everyone commented below too. Divorced? No. What happened? Why? What? What happened? No. Why? What? Why? I'm like, why? I'm going to go out on a limb and say she asked him to put the toilet seat down and he tried to throw the fridge at her head. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a deal breaker in most relationships. I like to smoke blunts, joints, right? Makes me feel like Snoop Dogg. Can't do edibles anymore. Swore those off. Last time I had an edible, I had 3 pot brownies, went to Disneyland, and convinced Winnie the Pooh to break character so that he could take me to a first aid station because I was having a panic attack. Yeah, true story. Hey, public freak out in your 30s, table for one. I can only imagine what it looked like to ongoing children. First time at Disneyland, just seeing a grown man flexing on poo in broad daylight, like, you gotta help me, man, my heart's gonna pop out of my fucking chest. Losing my mind. Barry, I was terrified on many levels. And then I started getting flooded with all these flashbacks, because then I remembered, oh shit, my folks took my sister and I to Disneyland when we were 6 for like a Save the Marriage trip, right? And yeah, spoiler alert, didn't work. And but I remembered getting lost that day at 6 and getting the sweet help from Winnie the Pooh again, who I'm now facing down with 30 years later. So I'm just like, dude, Pooh, you helped me 30 years ago. Now you're going to bail on me when I'm having a fucking heart attack. And this motherfucker in the suit, which I know was not a real guy because I played Wolverine at Universal Studios. So I'm like, you know, which, you know, shouldn't be the only reason you know that somebody's not the real Winnie the Pooh. I used to play a character too. I know you're probably Kevin from Detroit in there, you know. But I was like, dude, break the fourth wall. I need some fucking help. And this guy would not break the character code of conduct. He looked right at me and was like, like, I don't know what to tell you. Ask Christopher Robin, you know. So now I'm freaking out. And people have seen me freak out. So then you get extra self-conscious, right? Pooh walks away, and then you have to just, like, stand there by yourself, like, yeah, I'm fine, you know? People are like, are you cool? You're like, are you cool? Then I had to break away and get indoors, so I went to Splash Mountain. Not before I was reunited with my buddy who I went to the park with. We had gotten separated, right? So I was lost for a second time, again, freaking out with just poo to come to my rescue. He fucking failed on that mission. Then I see my buddy. It was like we were, you know, like remember at the end of Titanic when people were like, saw each other, like, I thought you drowned. Like, that's how it was. When I saw him, I was like, I thought you were dead. He's like, where the fuck were you? I was like, I fucking got a pizza and then I found poo and I'm free. I had a heart attack in front of a kid. It's a long story, you know. Then we got on Splash Mountain and we started to chill out for a little bit because, you know, there's some tranquil moments. You know, you sit around, you just, you know, get in a log, you just kind of coast down a river, right? Zip-a-dee-doo-down, zip-a-dee-ay. Right, we start singing along. We're like, we're fucking baked. Thank God we didn't die today, you know. And then panic started to resettle in when all these robotic animals started popping out of nowhere every 12 to 16 seconds. Hey, Walt, too many animatronics is my one piece of feedback. Every just fucking, just all these animals just, me, 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 maybe I'm real. Right, just staring at you way too long into your soul. I knew we were too baked because at the top of Splash Mountain was an owl and he looks right at my buddy and I and goes, meet me, hoo! And my buddy starts nudging me. He's like, dude, Adam, that owl just called you a Jew. We got to get out of here. This place is haunted, man. How do you know? Today's episode is brought to you by Home Chef. All right, real talk. After the holidays, my fridge looked like a crime scene. Half a lemon, 3 questionable yogurts, and a bottle of hot sauce judging me. Cooking wasn't happening, or so I thought. Enter Home Chef. Guys, this is adulting without the trauma. Home Chef makes cooking look simple. Because it is. Fresh food delivered, easy recipes to follow, and meals that actually taste great. And I don't mean good for a guy who once burned cereal. I mean legit restaurant level, did you order this vibes? And I made this creamy chicken dish the other night. My wife thought that I was a different person. Halfway through eating it, I considered complimenting myself, but I didn't because I'm not a douche. But I thought about it. And people really love it. Home Chef is rated number one by users of other meal kits for quality, convenience, value, taste, and recipe ease. That's huge for me. It's tough for me to follow directions and keep on track. So if I can follow the recipes one step at a time, then I feel like I'm dominating the world. They've worked with chefs, Home Chef that is, with chefs like Gordon Ramsay, and now they're partnering with Guidia de Laurentiis, bringing restaurant quality recipes straight to your kitchen, which makes me feel like I'm on top chef, and I am top chef. Except no one's yelling at me and I'm wearing sweatpants. There's over 30 meal options each week, classic kits, express meals, oven-ready trays, even a family menu for those with kids. And it's affordable. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries, which are going down. Grocery prices are going down. They're actually going up, you piece of shit. $86 is a lot to save, especially in LA. It's cocktails and parking. So for a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 50% off and free shipping for your first box. Plus free dessert for life. Holy shit. Go to homechef.com/ALN. That's homechef.com/ALN for 50% off your first box and free dessert for life. That's an incredible deal. I'd do it if I were you, but hey, don't want to tell you how to live your life. Homechef.com/ALN. Homechef.com/ALN. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
What I've dedicated my life to is revenge.
A brand new drama based on the best-selling novel.
They think they're better than us.
Who do you think you are?
I'm going to prove to them that they're wrong.
She's punishing me.
You destroyed my family. I will not rest until I've destroyed yours.
A Woman of Substance on Channel 4. Stream now.
There once was a woman who lived in a shoe. A size too snug, but what could she do? But that's not where her story ends. Thanks to a little help from her Experian friends, she got her score into much better shape and relocated to a box-fresh new place with room to grow and a mortgage to suit. Now, she lives in a spacious 4-bedroom cowboy boot. Better your Experian credit score to help get mortgage ready. Experian. Better your score. Better your story.
That was cool. I'll give you that. Because, man, I've had some insane nightmares. I still fuck with NyQuil. I don't know why. Probably because the slogan commercial, they make it seem so carefree, you know. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, stuffy head fever so you can rest medicine. You're like, oh, that sounds great. I'd love to rest. And NyQuil's like, yeah, you can definitely rest after you hallucinate for 45 minutes. Get ready to see your dead grandpa on a seesaw in France. NyQuil. Hawaii is the best place to smoke pot, man. Hawaii exudes the vibes of pot just 24/7. Look at any beach bar blasting out the tunes of Jack Johnson. I don't know if Jack Johnson is like the state bird in fucking Hawaii, but they respect his tunes. So every beach bar just, you know. And you're not paying attention to the lyrics that JJ is stringing together. And you should, because he is brilliant at just wrapping together these, you know, these lyrics that have no business being partnered together. But, you know, you're tapping your toe to all of his melodies. So you never give an ounce of doubt to what he's singing about. He's just like, I got the beach, pancakes at my feet. I watch the waves all day as they crash on the street. All right, well, that is catchy, but that's a tsunami that you're singing about, Jack. So maybe a little more concern in your voice. Children are drowning in front of you while you're harmonizing to yourself. I do like to watch TV when I'm a little stoned. Obviously, it's the best time to do it. I'm partial to Chop Jr. If you like child abuse and food, that is the show for you. God damn, the verbal critique that these adults have the audacity to throw at these children. 11, 12, they can't even tie their shoes or do cursive, yet they're taking in all this fucking, just absorbing all this fucking emotional wear and tear. I just, you know, and they don't know. They don't know how to stick up for themselves. Just like, I tried really hard, and I think, you know, I think it was pretty good. My mom said she liked it. The judge is like, yeah, well, Caleb, I found your lemon bolognese to be weak, like your kickball skills. And yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I always get picked last. You're right. Stephanie, your tuna tartare was flat, like your chest. Yeah. I mean, I'm 10, so I'll get tits next time. You're right. Everyone smokes pot. My 15-year-old cousin just found out he smokes weed. 15 years old. Tried to help curb the habit. I was like, dude, doesn't have to become an issue. You know? I smoke a little. His eyes lit up. Never seen a kid more excited in my entire life. Adam, you smoke pot? Dude, how have we not smoked together yet? What are you talking about? 5 years ago, you were 10. What the fuck are you talking about, man? I mean, how have we not? You just started using deodorant, man. You got to build up to that. Plus, I have a rule. I can't smoke weed with anybody who didn't grow up watching DuckTales. That's just a rule I have. There's a generation gap, you know what I'm saying? DuckTales. Yeah, see, they're the potheads. That's how you find them. I knew you were in here. You had no clue that was coming, and you dropped everything that was happening with you in that moment. Just a fucking woo-woo. Woo! Yeah, I love that show, dude. Give me a heads up next time. You could see someone stabbing someone outside a Whole Foods parking lot, like, yeah, chicken apple sausages are way too expensive. Just walk by, DuckTales, yeah, woo, yeah, back to stabbing. I'll stop for the woo-woo. I'm an impulse buyer, though, you know? I see the slogan, just like, this will help, and I'm like, I want it, you know? I bought a MyPillow. Just, again, impulse buyer. I got turned on from the whole commercial. If you don't know the MyPillow story, by the way, fascinating. Mike Lindell, former crackhead, okay? Used to sleep on feet under freeways. Cleaned himself up, made the MyPillow. Boom, billionaire. Inspiring story. Tugs at the heartstrings. Makes you want to be a part of that situation. And again, the commercial does its job, overhypes the product, makes you feel like you're not living properly without it. Just some guy on the sidewalk, you know, no pillow, just trying to get comfy on the street, just fucking, you know, having a tough time getting those restful Z's. He's like, it's just not that soft. Like, yeah, it's a curb, dum-dum. Go inside, you know? What the fuck are you doing? And then they cut to Lindell. He's like, that's why you need a fucking MyPillow. You know, and he's just muppeting out hardcore on TV. He's stealing... dealing with some crack after effects. Kiss your freaking pillow, right? And I did, you know? And it's the worst fucking thing I've ever slept on. Obviously. I should have known that going in. Who takes relaxation tips from a fucking crackhead? This guy used to think the alphabet started with... That's not a guy you listen to for sleeping advice. Got to play in the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game a couple weeks ago. What? That is the right response. Huh? You sound like most of Twitter. I got blown up by so many rappers I've never heard of. Who the fuck is Adam Ray? I was like, good to hear from you, amigos. Thanks for the shout-out, Tony Braxton. Or... Tony Braxton. Clearly, I don't know any more rappers. You know, rap legend Tony Braxton. I want to be in the NBA. Sir, what do you do right now?
Advertising.
Hell yeah. Was that the dream as a kid?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Sorry, during
Moving on. What kind of advertising do you do?
Food.
Oh, nice. Oh, dude, that's got to... Do you write jingles?
I don't write it. I sell them.
You sell the jingles. So people come to you, and they're basically like, give me a break. Give me a break. Make me have a business. Kit Kat bar. And you're like, fuck no. Or, I love it. Can we get another verse in there? How about give me a break break, right? Do you ever give advice, or do you just say yes or no to the given jingle? Fuck yeah. Any famous jingles we might have heard of?
Hamburger Helper.
Fuck yeah. So I'll ask the question again. Any famous jingles we've heard of? Hamburger Helper. What is it, 1992? Was that the year that Helper was on top of the world? What is the Hamburger Helper slogan? Refresh our memories.
When you need a helping hand.
When you need a helping hand. Walked right into that shit. Why are they always so sexual? Or maybe I'm just a dude and my brain just goes to sex. Helping hand. Oh, like a fucking, like a second, like a hand to fucking touch your wiener. Like a wiener hand. I remember Corn Nuts had a real, Corn Nuts was like, isn't it like bust a nut, bust a nut. Come on everybody and bust a nut. I know I'm not too far off. I will Google that. Yeah, certain slogans. I mean, look at the lottery, you know, that slogan. That's, you know, that's what a winning formula. Just, it could be you. Dum-dums hear that on the other end of the TV and they're like, I never thought of it like that before. Even when the odds are 1 in 7 billion, people are like, dude, I fucking roll the dice. 1 in 7 billion. Those are insane odds. You've got a better chance of like Oprah. Like, you know, pulling up to your house and being like, and you're like, oh my God, Oprah, did I win something? And she's like, no, no, I got a fucking shit. Oh, I guess, yeah, come in, I guess. Wow. This is not how it usually plays out on TV, but yeah, no, just don't use the first one, it's broken. Oh shit, Oprah, it's broken. She's in there. Corn Nuts jingle. Here it is. Bust a nut. Ready? Corn Nuts. They better sponsor this fucking album. Go to your room and lock the door? I don't remember that part. Don't tell your mom. Hide the pawns. Ask your stepdad for some cash. Don't let your sister see that video of you letting the dog lick your butt. Busting the... Good God. What? I would be so starstruck if you were like, that's actually my song. 15 hours in the studio coming up with that. Yeah, I wanted to be in the NBA when I was a kid. My mom actually squashed that dream at 9. She's like, Adam, the NBA, but sweetheart, but there are no Jews in the NBA. Good luck with that, you dumb dumb. Happy birthday. Go to bed. Just a power slam of honesty at 9. I had even at double digits already put a kibosh on the fantasy, which seemed fucked up from my perspective. And then I grow up and become an adult, and I'm like, nope, she was right. There are no Jews in the NBA. Bummer, but the harsh reality of the situation. You've never turned on any NBA game and seen Kevin Durant leafing through a Torah at halftime. No sweaty yarmulkes are flopping onto the court. No commentator during any NBA game has ever been like, Rosenbaum for 3! What a shot. Weinstein at the line for 2 free throws. You know how he loves those. Really take his time with this shot. He doesn't have to pay for it. I was good too, man. I probably peaked in the sixth grade. I had excellent court vision, a sweet jumper. I was a little fatty though. I was a little fat fuck. But I was quick fat, you know. Quick fat is a term that I came up with that basically explains why every 10, 20, 45 years there comes along a fat kid that just, you know, defies the laws of gravity. I was just as swift as all the skinny kids. I just smelled like Pop-Tarts and mac and cheese when I sweat, you know? My coach was like, "You're the most delicious defender of all time." He called me Krispy Kreme Abdul-Jabbar. That's not a healthy nickname. Here's a problem. The NBA is my favorite sport, though. Man, they got so much extra stimulation. You know, they recognize you need more than just the game in front of you to keep you entertained. Kiss cam, that's one of the greatest forms of free entertainment this country has ever come up with. Are you kidding me? Like, there's something for everybody. They span the gamut. Every age range is covered. They'll start off slow with a couple in, like, their 80s or 90s, and as soon as they put them up on the Jumbotron, everyone just, you know, applauds, just like, "Holy shit, how did you, you know, get outside?" You know? And, right, and then the old gal's like, "Give me a smooch," and he's like, "Who are you?" Like, and then they'll cut to a couple, you know, prepubescent, 7th, 8th grade, and this little too-cool-for-school punk-ass kid isn't ready to show publicly the amount of affection he's got for the girl he brought, right? So he's just like, right? Yeah, real inappropriate. Then they'll cut away to a couple that has no business kissing whatsoever. And that's my favorite. Usually like a brother-sister combination. Yeah, and they can't defend themselves because they're muted on the Jumbotron. So they're just like, "Oh, no, no, we're related. We can't do this." And the whole stadium's like, "We don't give a shit. We paid for this incest. Act like you grew up together." I like to sing the national anthem at an NBA game. That's on the bucket list for sure. And once Fergie did it, I was like, "I think I could fucking do it." That is pretty much how I would do it. You know what I'm saying? Just make a bold choice. Just people gotta stop putting spins on things that don't need adjusting. You know what I'm saying? Nobody was out there like, "You know what we could use from Fergie? A new national anthem." That version would have been acceptable if they were like, "Please welcome to sing the national anthem, Popeye." You know, then I would have been like, "Yeah, I knew this guy was working on something special." That's why we haven't seen him for a couple beats. She was two verses away from being like, and eating a can of spinach in front of America. Sort of put spinach back on the map. You gotta get somebody reliable, man. Some true rock star. Lionel Richie comes to mind. That's my karaoke go-to. That guy did no wrong. Look at any video of Lionel's from the 80s. He pushed the envelope because, he backed up the hype that people built around him. And if you were that cool, man, you could really do no wrong. Your behavior was not questioned. Look at any video. Look at the video for Hello tonight on YouTube. Just, "Hello, is it me you're looking for?" You know what he's doing in that video while he's singing? Chasing a blind woman around. What the fuck? That is the epitome of narcissism. Do you understand? She's blind. She doesn't know what the fuck's going on. And Lionel's just like, "Is it me you're looking for?" It's like, "Yo, dude, probably not." Hate to burst your bubble. She just paid for soup with a napkin. You think love is at the top of her list? She's looking for a door handle to get some stability, man. Cut her some slack. Concerts, too, man. The best. Went to Bonnaroo. Bonnaroo is one of those experiences as a comedian you could do, and it's a giant music comedy festival. Got to see Pearl Jam for the first time. If you haven't seen Pearl Jam live, put that on the bucket list. Holy shit, PJ rips it up. You know, and you know they're a great band because they've been featured on VH1 Storytellers, and that show only highlights musicians and bands that are worthy of having journeys and stories to tell that are attached to the tunes they're about to play. Everyone's done it. Bowie, Alanis Morissette, holy shit, man. R.E.M., Pearl Jam, obviously. Taylor Swift did an episode, was the last one. The youngest, right? When she was like 22. It's like, she's 22. She hasn't lived a full life worthy of experiences worth connecting over. But God bless her, she's up there powering through. Like, this next song is about, okay, so you guys know that guy you had a crush on in high school, right? We're all thinking of him right now, like Devin or Revan or Steven, like the weird new kid. And he didn't know you had a crush on him, and your friend Kelly told him you had a crush on him, and you were like, "Kelly, what are you doing? That was private information, bitch." And so you go to school the next day, and you see him in the hallway, and he gives you a weird look, like, and you're like, "What the fuck was that? What was that look?" And I'm just like, "I don't know, Taylor. Where's this story fucking going? This is just, there's no beginning, middle, or end." 25 years ago, Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam, much more engaging tales. He's out there like, "This next song is about, this next time, well, one time the band and I, we were doing a show in Wisconsin, and after the show we went to an IHOP where we found ecstasy in our banana pancakes. We took him, obviously. We started tripping our balls off. We wandered into a forest where we met a magical elf who'd been separated from his family. We helped him how to rebuild his home out of pine cones. And he taught us how to make shoes out of the wind. Then we heard a van driving by from a nearby town screaming at us, "Mr. Vera, Mr. Vera, oh my God, thank you so much. You found our baby." Turns out that elf we were kicking it with was was actually a fucking baby. We were fucked up. Anyway, we didn't know. His name was Jeremy. 2, 3, 4. Way better story. Just got to read the room, you know? A lot of us fail to read the room, not know what to say. Or you don't say what you should say at the right time. We don't act the way you should. Look, Matt Lauer thought he could give out dildos for Christmas last year. And that is a prime example of not reading the room, you know? Again, you want to be the cool guy at the office. You've been there 30-plus years. You know, you're just like, hey, no one's giving out dildos for the holidays. Yeah, there's a reason for that, dude. Now you're on the front page. So that plan clearly backfired, you know? And look, give out dildos. I got no problem with that. No harm, no foul. Just leave them outside of the door and then disappear. Just be like, hey, who's the cool guy giving out dildos this year? And just, you know, I hope we figure it out. Seems like a fun guy to be around. It's got to be inconspicuous with your dildo drop-off, you know? Secret Santa, that shit. He added notes. That's what made it weird. Got too specific. He was like, happy holidays. I hope it fits. Matt. It's like, dude, you can't write that.
I don't know why you put, I hope it fits.
Yeah, just let me know. Let me know. Or don't, you know, I'll just check in. Cool. My nieces fail to read the room a lot, but they're 9. They shouldn't have to have any sorts of filter. That's one of the benefits of being 9 years old and being a twin, as they are. You just get to say whatever you want and not be cognizant that there are feelings at stake when you say shit to adults, you know? They're just like, I'm just going to think it, and then I'm going to fucking say it. And I don't really care how it affects you, because I'm 9, and there's not much I have to do in my day other than say shit that might be offensive or hurtful to your heart. You know what I'm saying? It's a cool place to be at 9. Just fucking here it is, and fucking here it comes. And they do that all the time. It was dead silent in the car, driving them to swimming practice, and one of them just goes, Uncle Adam? I go, yeah, what's going down? She goes, I'm sorry you don't have a wife yet. I was like, aw, mind your fucking business. What the hell? I thought we were on the same team. I don't tell you how to color. Stay in your lane. Fuck. I saw you make a tree purple last week. I didn't say shit. You think that's going to come back to bite you? Any other uncles out there? Just doing their best job to make these kids feel like you should be their parents. You guys want 3 Slurpees at 7 p.m.? Yeah, you're the coolest. I know. See ya. Bye. Try to go to bed. They take advantage of that blind support, though, man. Jesus Christ. They manipulate, press your buttons, got little catchphrases that tug at the heartstrings. I thought you were cool. Oh, man, that hurts so bad, because all you want to do is be cool to them. And now they're telling you, well, maybe you're not, you know? Starts off slow. Can we have our iPads this weekend? No, your mom said you can't. I thought you were cool. I'm just like, fuck that shit, I am. Who told you that? Where are you getting your facts from? It's only going to get worse as they get older. Uncle Adam, will you buy us beer? No. I thought you were cool. All right, you know what? Fuck the beer. Let's do shots, all right? Who's partying tonight? With a 4 Loko, chase it with a plan B. Let's hit that monkey bar, all right? You're driving, by the way. I don't care if you're 9. Figure it out. You wanted this. They're cool. I'll do anything for them, you know. Because they, again, they respect me, and that can be good cop, bad cop. They love what I do. They start to recognize that stand-up is a job, more or less. And they pitch me jokes. It's insane, right? It's just so cute. Like, and they're different personalities. One of them is a little more, I can just, you know, bouncing off the wall. She's got a more creative imagination. And she was like, Uncle Adam, I got a joke for you. What did the poop say to the fart? I was like, I don't know. She's like, gross. I'm like, yeah, hilarious. Not bringing it to San Fran, but I get why that's funny. The other one's a little more cerebral, a little more image-driven. Uncle Adam, what's a taco's favorite dance? I don't know. The salsa. Yeah, fucking jackpot. Probably closing with that. And then the other one felt outdone. So she's like, I got another joke. I was like, ooh, all right. Yeah, let's go back and forth. What do you got? Okay, what the boyfriend say to their girlfriend? I don't know. What? Nothing. Because the boyfriend saw the girlfriend when they're at dinner, like a picture of her ex on Instagram. And he was like, what was that? And she was like, I don't, what do you mean? And he's like, I just saw you like Steve's picture. And I didn't know you were still talking to him. And she was like, yeah, he's, I told you, we reconnected because he got sick. And so I'm trying to show emotional support because he just got done with his second round of chemo. And I thought that was like a chivalrous move on my part, was to reach out and be like, I hope everything's going well. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Get it? There we go. That was topical. They're cool. I'll do anything for my nieces. Anything. So much unconditional love. Their friends, not so much. Pretty much hate all their friends. They got just several 7, 8, 9-year-old just spazzy bastards surrounding them at the park. Kids that just pop out of bushes. You know, I've definitely established myself as the cool uncle. All the other parents are on the outskirts, just on their phones, just fucking, you know. These kids take advantage, popping out of bushes. Fuck! Made you look. Yeah, you did, Nathan. I wasn't expecting a headbutt in the middle of the day. Fuck off. Nathan, Caleb, Gary. They got a friend named Gary who's 8. Yo, if you're Gary and you're 8, you better figure that shit out real quick. Why do you not work in a body shop already, Gary? You're still in grade school? Get to work, man. Always smells like soup for some reason. Look, you're 8, dude. You got one job. Do a chowder check before you leave the house. Why do you always smell like you've just been dipped in something? He's like, I like broccoli cheddar. Yeah, dude, it's fucking all over your ears. Like, always taunts me with his bullshit skills. Hey, Adam, I bet I can skip rocks better than you. I bet you can, Gary. You don't do shit all day, man. You got plenty of time to hone your skipping skills, man. Even his haircut sucks. To me, that is a strong indication that you are a piece of shit as a youngster. Even the barber got a sense of Gary's energy and was like, boom, boom, fuck this kid. He sucks, and I want his head to reflect that. I hate this kid. I want to throw his backpack in the ocean. Got a midget best friend. It's pretty close to having a kid. Fuck yeah. Brad Williams, great comedian. Do a podcast called About Last Night, which you guys should check out. Brad is the shit. Definitely a cool addition to my friendship circle, having an LP in there. If you don't have a midget best friend in your life, definitely pick one up for the holiday season next year. It's street cred. People don't fuck with you. Don't steal one. That's, you know, illegal and 7 years bad luck. But so many things I got to learn about the LP community that I didn't know about Brad until I met him. I didn't know that little people could drive. You know what I'm saying? Did you know that they could drive? I didn't know that they could drive. 2 months into hanging out, Brad and I are leaving a comedy club. He's like, hey, man, you want a ride? I was like, on your dragon? What the fuck? What? What? It's not going to be a car. He actually drives a Mini Cooper. I don't know if it's for the joke, but it definitely fills my heart when I see him get into it. I saw him and his now wife having sex at a house party. But yeah, definitely not something I anticipated on seeing. And also something I was not going to turn away from. Thank you, God. That is a free gift. It's like a lunar eclipse, you know? Happens once a year. You mark it on the calendar, take notes, report to the others. So they can prepare emotionally, because it's a lot of imagery to take in, you know? You're at a house, you're not like, you know, you're not expecting, like, I hope there are midget folks at some point, you know? And I was drunk, and I was meandering around on my own. I was too drunk to be there. You ever been so hammered, and you can't recognize for yourself that it's time to go? Because you don't want to miss out on whatever fun pops up, you know? So I just wanted to stay close, but I was, you know, I was like bumping into the fridge. I was like, fucking, what's up, fridge? You know? Like, all right, probably time to go take a nap. You know, I'm flexing on fridges and shit. And then all of a sudden, I ended up upstairs by myself, and I didn't know how I got there. And that is terrifying, to say the least. I just was upstairs bumping into doors. Everything felt like a game show. I was like, I wonder what sort of fun could be behind that door, you know? And then I saw light streaming out of one of the doors super majestically, and I was like, man, that could be Narnia, or, you know, maybe there's a festival of snacks in there. You know, I wanted to make a drunk discovery, and it was neither of those. It was a midget fucking. And that was just so much to take in. I was like frozen in the doorway as a fan fan and a concerned friend. Because Brad was going at speeds I didn't think were possible. I was like, dude, slow down. You're going to burst into cookies. You know, just worried about my buddy. My eyes were wide. My jaw was dropped. I made a wish. You know, I was just trying to get something for me out of it. Seeing a midget fuck wasn't even on my bucket list. After I saw it, I went home, wrote it down, and crossed it off my bucket list. It's like, that shit should have been there. I got to dream bigger. No pun intended. I'm going to leave you with one thing before we take this party up a notch. Again, perspective. If you got a job you hate, or you got some friends in your circle you're not keen on, learn from it, okay? That's how you're going to become your best self and take it outside to be around the rest of us, which is what we all should be striving for. I had jobs that I fucking despised. My first job was bagging groceries at Albertsons. Hated that shit. Got sucked in. The slogan, very catchy, Albertsons, it's your store. I was like, oh, hell yeah. Then I'm going to steal beer, you know? And I did, and I got fired. But before that, I bagged some toaster strudels, and I hated that shit. I was 17, looking at this thing as possibly the pinnacle, as good as it's gonna get, glass half full approach. But every day, a couple kids came in with a lot of pizzazz that really turned my day around. And I think we can all attest, any job is more tolerable if you got a fun cast of characters working alongside you. And every day, one kid in particular, a man named Brian, came in so fucking fired up, just so juiced up for the day, little slow, but so much enthusiasm. He was like, Adam, what's up, man? What's up, dog? What's up, man? Hey, man, you really had some fucking fun today? I was like, you know what? Fuck yeah, Brian. Here I was thinking bagging groceries is as good as it's gonna get, and you come in with this different attitude and mindset. You know what, dude? Brian, let's have some fucking fun. And then I would watch him drop a case of Diet Pepsi onto a loaf of bread. And not think there was anything wrong with that. God bless him. Just boom, have a good day. And then you get to watch the customer not say shit. That was the best part of that equation. You know, just thanks for not fucking up the Pepsi. God damn it. And Brian would check in with me like I had something to do with it. Thank you, taught me everything I know. I was like, fuck that, dude. That was your call, man. I know it's the other way around. Pepsi then bread, motherfucker. We learned that on day one. Have a good day. But Brian logged a lot of hours, and I knew there was room for error. And I'll never forget it. Holiday season, Seattle, Washington, 1998 rolls around. A lot of customers coming through. A lot of items to assess and organize. Brian dropped 3 jars of pickles consecutively. I think the chaos and the holidays got to him, and he panicked, man. You don't know the true impact or magnitude, by the way, pickles have hitting the floor one after the other provides until you see and hear that shit live. It is just as intense as you imagine. Just pickles, fucking Brian fucked up, right? Record scratch moment. Everyone in the store was like, gah! I even heard a guy 3 aisles down go, that's the most pickles I've ever seen. Everyone's losing their fucking mind. Customer, justifiably, couldn't keep it together. Was like, dude, come on, man. Are you serious? Are you even paying attention? What are you, fucking retarded? Oh, yeah. Hadn't seen Brian's face yet. It was deep down in that bag trying to organize shit properly. So Brian hears it and does this slow, dramatic movie lookup. He's like, what'd you say? Customer was like, oh, shit. What are the odds? Sorry, all right? I want the pickles in the bag, they're on the floor. They're on the floor, I want them in the bag, I'm sorry. Just being a dick about it. And here's why I love Brian, he had so much integrity, really stuck up for himself, put his foot down, but didn't want to make the customer or the moment more awkward or uncomfortable than it had to be. Looked right at the dude verbatim, I'll never forget it. Goes, it's okay, man, it's all right. People get angry, but just so you know, I'm not retarded. I'm a human being and I made a mistake. Right, sweetest shit ever. I still get choked up thinking about that soundbite. As soon as he said it, I heard the More You Know music playing in my head. Just, ba-na-na-na. Right? But I heard it in Brian's voice. So I was like, bang. Yeah, it's more fun to hear it that way. And fuck you if you're not laughing. He can sing too. Here's how the story wraps up. I got a crazy photographic memory. I don't know when I got it or when it was applied, but I saw Brian and his brother and sister at the mall I grew up in a few months ago roaming around, and I'm like, I gotta check in and say what's up. It'd be rude of me not to. It's been 17 plus years. So I go, yo, Brian. And he goes, what's up? I was like, yo, it's Adam from Albertsons. You remember? And he goes, oh, shit. What's up, dog? How you doing? I'm like, I'm good, man. I live in L.A. now. I'm doing stand-up. He's like, oh, shit. Hollywood. Fuck yeah, man. Have you met Harrison Ford yet? I'm like, that's a weird question, man. No, I haven't. But see if I can get that friendship going. How you doing? He's like, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm still working at Albertsons. You know, Albertsons till I die, probably. And what's your stand-up about? I'm like, oh, you know, it's a little this, a little that. He goes, did you do any jokes about Albertsons? You know, not too much funny to report on that front, Brian, to be honest. And then I swear to God, he leans in real close to me and goes, do you remember when I dropped the pickles? fuck yeah, man. I think about that every day of my life. And I can't make this up. He goes, I did that shit on purpose. Whoa. Of course you did. It looked too premeditated. You know what I'm saying? There was a motive involved for sure. As soon as he said that, I tried to replay it in my head. I was like, was there a moment I missed out on that could have led me to see this was about to happen? Like, was Brian trying to check in? Like, you know, shit, you're about to go down. Grab all your favorite pickles. I'm dropping them all, baby. So I go, Brian, why'd you do that, man? Because I still talk to him. Late night, Facebook. He always hits me up. It's always so late. 3-4 in the morning. We stop playing. Followed by a Will Smith inspirational video. You gotta watch this shit, dog. It's powerful. Followed by an invite to play Uno. I'm like, dude, Brian, it's 4 a.m. He's like, pussy. All right, draw 4, bitch. And then just no response for 6 months. So I go, Brian, why'd you do that? He goes, you really want to know, man? I'll tell you why I did that shit. I'm like the James Bond of pickles, man. I'm like, yeah, dude. What does that mean? Why did you do it? I know. Fucking Bruce Willis. I'm in this motherfucker. Why did you do it, dude? Fucking Will Smith, dude. Welcome to Earth. Brian, shut the fuck up. Why did you do it? Because that guy fucked my mom once. That's why my parents got divorced. Whoa. What the fuck are you talking about, dude? I'll take things I didn't think you were going to say for 1,000, Alex. What a gangster. Do you understand how simple Brian's revenge tactics were? This kid was just like, oh, really? You fucked up my childhood? Okay. Well, guess who's not taking their pickles home today? You guys ready to take the show up a notch? You guys having a good time so far? I know you can do better than that. Make it loud for a special guest from Netflix and Showtime.
I like my man in the black polo with the thumbs up ready to go in the corner. Yeah, you're the captain of every bowling league. You look like you like to tan. Is that true, my man? Or do you just have high blood pressure? Which one is it? Can you tell me which one is it? Can you tell us real quick? Which one is it?
He just goes, okay. How long have you been married, dude? 5 years. Congrats. Nice. Nobody here gives a shit, but it's all right. You didn't do it for them. You did it for you. What's that?
We care. Our friends care.
Your friends care? Oh, yeah. These are your friends? Who's your best friend in this group here? What's that? Because there's three couples, so, like, you know, there's obviously, like, one couple that probably came last minute, and you're like, God damn it, are they still coming?
Which couple is it? What's your best friend? Who's your best friend?
I'd love to figure it out.
Which is couple is it? And who's in second place?
How about my man on the end here in the hat and the glasses? What's your name, dude? Mike.
Hi.
Mike?
Mike? Mark?
Oh, it's Mark.
Mark.
Whoa, you don't know your name. Don't you think that's important? Mike, Mark.
Mike, Mark.
Mark, Mike, Mike, Mark, Mike, 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 Mike.
Boy, that's gotta be so terrible for job interviews when they're like, so nice to meet you. What's your name?
Mike,
Mike, Mark, Mike, Mark, Mike, Mike. What do you want?
What about my man up front, dude? Shaking your legs super nervously, hoping I don't sing to thee. What's your name? Do you live in San Francisco? Is this your girlfriend? No. Is this your wife? No. Did you meet tonight? No. Are you kidnapping her? She your hostage that you ride out for just a couple hours? If you're held against your will,
pasta shade, pasta shade, pasta shade, pasta shade, pasta shade, pasta shade.
Ooh. A man a couple rows back, sitting like
A.C. Slater. Super cool, chill back, sit back, look. Like your mojo dude. You look super comfortable. Do you bring that sort of laid-back attitude to your life in your everyday from 9 to 5? What do you do?
Do you do, dude?
Electrician. Cool. Way to bring the energy down.
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 There literally could have been nothing more boring you could have said. Way to bring the energy down.
Way to bring the energy
yeah,
down.
Way to bring the energy down.
That's actually pretty cool. We need you, dude, so thank you for your service.
Thanks for your service, dude. For making this show possible.
Thanks for the lights and the sound and everything.
Couldn't do it without you. Was that the dream? When you were a kid on the playground. Was that the dream? You know how when you're a kid you got delusional thoughts about what's possible. And then you grow up and you're like, oh shit, not anything's actually possible. Time to readjust and reassess my dreams.
What was your dream?
What did you want to do before you became an electrician? Did you want to be an athlete? Did you want to compete in a mathlete? Did you want to go to the moon? Did you want to drink with a spoon and be the first guy to drink with a spoon? Improv is tough. Before we wrap it up, and I hope you wrap it up with whoever this is. Don't want a baby that you don't want. You know what I'm talking about.
That's it. Thank you so much. You guys were a lot of fun. I hope you had a good time tonight, man. You guys were a great crowd. Thank you very much for being a part of this show. You guys were a fucking great crowd. One more time for Avery Pearson. Let him hear it. Yeah. Good night. Thank you so much, you guys. Oh, man. Thank you very much.